Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for having me here. It's an honor, really. Just the welcome, even before I start, colleagues and friends from across the country that have come here to greet me, to take photos with me. It's really overwhelming, and I'm truly honored to be here, to be speaking to the Garden Writers and sharing what I do. It's tremendous, so I hope everyone's been having a great time so far, and will continue to. So I'm going to rush through this talk because we don't have a lot of time. I don't want to cut into Nancy's time. I have some story telling to do, and a little bit of history about myself for this talk. I would say this talk and this topic really has encompassed the career that I've had. I know I have a ways to go, but it's pretty remarkable what I've accomplished, and it all started with flowers. So I'm going to get right to it. So you're probably thinking, wow, that was a beautiful background there, Riz, can you see it clear? Here it is. So the world of plants and flowers is immense, it's beautiful, it's diverse, and this is how I like it. I love to garden. I'm a collector. I'm a plant hoarder. I'm a plant geek. Call me what you will. So, to most garden enthusiasts, oh, how beautiful, you know? Yes, it's very beautiful, but this is how my mind thinks. Names flying all around. And this is how I like to garden, and this is how I like to design. And I'm so glad that it's embraced by a very wide audience. One more plant. More plants. Gosh, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? So, this session, here's our goal for the next couple of minutes. I'm going to give you a brief glimpse and comparison of the floral and horticultural industries. They're very similar, but also very different. Trends in products and floral design that shed some light on horticulture and how these two industries really come together. And then, stories behind the bouquet. What's incredible about flowers is it's the first introduction for a lot of people to the world of gardening. When someone gets a bouquet as a gift or they go to a grocery store to buy flowers, it's that instant visual impact that they have, that first connection they have to growing plants. So there's stories behind a simple flower and a simple bouquet that you can get at the store or get as a gift. Okay? So really, my career in horticulture began with flowers, and I'm going to give you a very, very brief history about my experience, and feel free to laugh. There's a photo here that I'm about to unveil that's a little, you know, we're all growing up, we all have our awkward phases, right? So I had a really fascination with plants and flowers in nature, and so this was me. I was 13, 14 years old, big, nerdy glasses. So my first real introduction into floral design, and this was with the Seattle Dahlia Society in their floral arrangement class, and of course I was still in the junior division. So best junior arrangement, there you go, rocking it. So I didn't really have much competition, so if you look closely, this pointer works. That was my competition right there. The theme was Treasure Island. I mean, come on. I mean, I can appreciate, you know, never mind. I don't appreciate it. So, growing up, when you're a young boy, you get teased, right? And some of my male colleagues here have probably gotten that. It's like, oh, you know, oh, it's a flower boy, you know, like all that sort of stuff. So, I got through that, my curiosity about plants and flowers increased, and I was curious about where flowers came from and how they were grown. So, flash, you know, forward like several years, studied, you know, worked really hard, got different jobs, and gained as much experience as I could about growing flowers, and got a degree. And Garden Writers, back in 2009, Raleigh, North Carolina. Who was there? Anyone in the audience?
Yes.
Fantastic. So that was a tremendous, tremendous experience. And I was telling one of my colleagues here, Barry, here, that one of my reasons for going was not because of the Garden Writers or the networking and all these wonderful things that this organization is all about. I was there for plant and white surgery, okay? And I loaded up with plants. But I also had the wonderful opportunity to meet these individuals, Amy Stewart, Deborah Prinzing, who's in the audience here, and David Perry. You all know Amy Stewart. Flower Confidential was a tremendous book. And as I read it, it's like, wow, she did her research and all these things, all horticulture related, sort of came together and introduced me to an industry that I somewhat abandoned growing up, because I liked flowers, I liked playing with them and designing, but I got interested in growing plants. Until Deborah and David came up with the 50-mile bouquet that chronicled these wonderful stories and the visuals. If you do not have this book, oh my goodness, it's wonderful. And it brought these two industries and these two worlds together in a very beautiful, beautiful way. So I got introduced to this term called the farmer florist. And this is one of my friends, Diane Zitabadi, Jello Mold Farms up in Mount Vernon, Washington State. And she's a plant geek and a cut flower grower. I heard her speak, and Latin just like rolled out of her tongue. I'm like, I like this chick. He is awesome. So we got to be good friends, and I got to learn that so many of the garden plants that we grow made a good cut. And I'm like, huh, okay. So she was showing me, you know, different genera that she used and grew and made money on them. So one of the plants that really brought me back into the floral industry was the hellebore. Sorry, Deborah, I cut your head off.
I remember that.
So it was hellebores. As gardeners, especially throughout the country, they're super hardy. We all know them and we all love them. They are a hot item in the floral industry, and I never knew. $10 a stem retail. It's ridiculous. Whereas, you know, because some of them, like the X hybridus types, just seed around and, you know, are almost a weed in some gardens. But here, they were such in demand. It just blew me away. So I ended up giving a talk on hellebores for the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers. And so they invited me to speak. And, you know, at those venues, they have a lot of vendors and samples. And I took advantage. So I started playing, you know, and working with flowers again, meeting growers, making new friends. And I'm up in Seattle. We have this great organization called the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market, which is a co-op of local cut flower growers that grow the really cool stuff that I like working with. Because most of the industry, the floral industry, very standard. You know, you have your carnations, your roses, and most of them are shipped from around the world. But it's the local things that are really quite special. They're the ones that that can't be shipped, like dahlias, for example. They're the ones that have the subtle the fragrances and the details that I like in the work that I do. So the farmers are great, and you know, you can make your special orders, special requests, like, oh, can you grow such and such next year? I'm like, sure, there is no problem. And at times, I'll hook them up with plants and divisions too. So it becomes this wonderful collaborative effort for both industries, really. So it's been tremendous. And of course, Deborah introduced this whole concept of slow flowers. And if you don't know what slow flowers is, it's like the slow food movement, understanding where food comes from and also understanding where flowers come from. And most people would think, who cares? You know, I buy them, I enjoy them, I toss them away after a few days. But it really is significant, and it's important that we understand, you know, carbon footprint, the chemicals that they use, you know, overseas. I mean, it's getting better and better. But also, being a gardener, being someone that grows plants, and having friends close by that grow plants, you know, I want to support my friends. I want to support the people that work as hard as I do, even much harder than I do, to produce flowers. So it's been this wonderful whirlwind and wonderful introduction back into this industry. So the floral industry, as many of you know, talked about the grocery stores, and then we have the specialty florists. So they're the neighborhood flower shop. There's the FTD model of, you know, being able to, you know, call the 800 number or order online 1-800-Flowers, etc., to ship, you know, flowers to everyone around the country, even around the world. And then you have your specialty shops, the really high-end boutique shops that, you know, charge $20 for a single rose, you know, that sort of thing. And then there's this concept of a studio designer, which I consider myself, because I don't really, you know, have a shop retail. I do more of my custom work and design. So working in the industry, I began to make comparisons between the two, because I also am a garden designer, landscaper, and I do maintenance as well. So a really quick comparison about the industries. With floral designers, you have the year-round product, you're relying on imported material, and it's a short-term, instant gratification you know, sort of deal. And then you've got, you know, being a garden designer, where depending on where you live, you know, work can vary. You have to hustle for, you know, for jobs sometimes. So, and then also you're working with what's currently available, and you're limited to the plant palette that that will thrive in your industry or in your in your area. Excuse me. And it's a long-term investment when you put in a landscape, correct? So floral as a gateway into horticulture, like really? Well, I've given you some examples that when you get flowers, it's sort of your first introduction to what those plants are and knowing that you could probably grow some of them. So a few questions come up from consumers. And I actually said this earlier, you buy cut flowers, they just die and you throw them away. You know, very disposable. But from a business standpoint, it's a good thing because you want them to keep buying, right? But that's what seems so wasteful. And I think why I didn't go into the floral design track, because like I felt sad, you know, that you just, you know, you enjoy, you throw it away. But then I learned to, you know, save stems and fruit cuttings and that sort of thing. So there it is. We're starting to get the idea of a potential gateway there. And another thing, too, that just blew me away, where they're actually consumers. I go to a flower shop and say, oh, if I buy these cut flowers and stick them in the dirt, they'll grow, right?
Well,
but an opportunity to educate. But this is the reaction I want. Whether it's a bride or a friend that I give a bouquet to, I want them to go, wow, what's this? Oh, and that, and those, you know? Get them engaged. So I've entered this world of horticulture and flowers, and it's come together in the most beautiful way, being able to present using materials from my garden and the local materials that my friends and colleagues grow. And I'm having a lot of fun utilizing these wonderful things that we can grow, and that also you can grow too. So let's identify some of these things. There are the hellebores, the seed heads of Fatsia japonica, Arctostaphylos, manzanitas, native here to the West Coast, flowering cherry that blew over from the storm, so it was a beautiful branch, you saw me holding it. So making use of the natural structure of these plants, and as a gardener and as a horticulturist, you learn to prune, you learn to and understand plant habit. And I say, if you're a gardener, you will make an excellent floral designer because you have that understanding of how movement, how nature grows. And a branch or a petal or a leaf wants to fall over, let it. Like that hellebore there. Stunning, 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 stunning. It can be simple too and very seasonal. This is one that I put together of just hosta June. As they come up in the springtime, and my lily of the valley also happened to be blooming, and I figured I, you know, restrain myself, do something simple, something elegant, and it turned out really nice. Also, there's ecological lessons that we can learn from flowers in a bouquet. Conservation, for example, floral industry a long time ago used to be known to poach material from the wild. And this wreath here that I've made with the woodland theme, you can see there's some pitcher plants there, Sarracenias. And some of those varieties are protected. A lot of them are cultivated and grown for the floral industry. But it's one of those things that, it's a floral designer wants the maximum impact and show. So if they have the rarest and most, you know, unusual thing, it's going to be highly praised, but also at the cost of potentially diminishing a population in the wild. So something to keep in mind. Invasive species. It's a little hard to tell in this photograph, but I have Hedera iabranica here. So blackberry as well, which has been quite invasive, but I love it as a texture in bouquets. So the industry is banking on these in these days to make money. So, oh my gosh, I have a lot to talk about, so I'm going to speak to this really quickly, if you'll bear with me. Trends in the industry that we'll see that integrate horticulture as well. Succulents and tillandsias, thanks to nurseries like Flora Grub that have made these very popular and accessible to folks, and I've used them very deliberately in my floral arrangements because they can save little bits and pieces of an arrangement. Once everything has wilted, they can pick out those plants and continue to grow them. So here's quickly an example of a bouquet I'm putting together, a little echeveria there. And this was a spring bouquet with fresh carrot, tulips, and anemones from the local growers. And you can see it here with some hellebores, lilacs for fragrance. Fragrance is key to me. And it all comes together in a very unique bouquet of all local material. Seattle Seahawks represent. Riz has to make flowers. I don't watch football, but my friends do, so I brought that for our football party. But here's the benefit of it. You know, you save those little bits from a bouquet, and you can grow it. And now, a flower enthusiast who never thought they could be a gardener, all of a sudden they can, because like Riz is making roots. I'll put it in a pot with soil and let it grow and enjoy it. So new products I want to introduce you to, and I have samples of them here at the end, very end. I'll show it to you. There's EcoFresh Bouquet, which is a floral wrap that is great for farmers markets. The most exciting I have that's come out is floral soil. If you've ever arranged flowers before in floral foam or oasis, this is the new biodegradable, safe-to-use product that's, that I've been using. So I have samples of that here that you can have a look at the end. And again, I have resources here that, that we'll post on the website. Just in case you don't get any of these notes. But it's tremendous. It holds moisture. You can get really creative. This is Mari Malcolm, a colleague, a fellow designer of mine, who created these wonderful cakes and these new cupcakes that they're being that they're releasing now. Wonderful gifts. That is a floral arrangement, but it's also a planter because these succulents will root and you can grow them. High couture design. This is one that I've been building. You can see utilizing, you know, uncommon floral stuff from my garden, things that I love, that's very elaborate and very beautiful. It's a floral headpiece there that I created this spring. And you can save bits and pieces of that and grow it. So, really wonderful stuff. Floral is very trendy, thanks to the brides and the magazines, the David Austin roses. And floral, too, can really influence what growers are producing and, you know, and breeding for. So, the old-fashioned garden roses, I mean, we've grown them for gardens for many years, but now they're hot, hot items in the floral industry. So let's identify some of them. A lot of very common garden plants here utilized in this garden, you know, fresh bouquet with smoke bush, Pat Austin Nigella, which is a weedy, you know, annual, but I love it because of its texture. Hoopra, you know, Siberian irises, all come together in a beautiful, beautiful arrangement. And a drought-tolerant garden, believe it or not, represented in a bouquet here. And just some simple things, hostas, geums, there's some columbine in there as well, and some chives. Make it simple, make it sweet, and beautiful. And flowers for the men. You know, it's always with the ladies and the brides, but you know, there's a potential new market here. With just the boutonnieres, and I've developed something called the man bouquet, which I'll share with you in another time. So again, it's just this new world that we live in. It's so accepting and so open. Why not have it filled with plants and flowers? So lots of stories behind the bouquet here, and I'm gonna finish up really quick. This is called the lonely bouquet. You make a bouquet, you leave it some random place for someone to pick up. 4th of July theme there, riding in the car, and me riding as a garden writer. I created this thing called bedside flowers, having plants close to my bed as I write in my journal. That's inspiring, and each even simple little flower has a story behind it. So that's the message I want to send to you all. So we've covered so much in such a short time, but thank you for hanging in there. We talked about the differences of the two industries, the trends that we're beginning to see, some environmental issues that we talked about as well. And having this horticultural base has been so important and makes flowers more compelling and the storytelling more effective as we reach out to a broader audience and a consumer base. So buy flowers, enjoy them, give them away, and let them inspire you as you do your work. Thank you very much. Yes.
In one of your slides, the one about the Seattle Seahawks, but there was something that sort of looked like a horror. Yeah, what is that?
That's a tillandsia. It's a leaf of a tillandsia,
okay.
Scleria. Mm-hmm.
One more question in the back.
Yeah, is floral soil available in
Is Florida soil available in wholesale supply houses?
Not currently yet.